A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com. Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to What Culture Gaming. I'm Scott, joined by Josh.
Hello, Scott.
Joined by a returning Josh Brown after a couple of weeks away, rejoining the news flow. However, we were just saying before recording that we're kind of in between stories at the minute. There's all the Activision Blizzard stuff going on. There's Resident Evil 4 coming out on Friday. Go check out the review of that game. We'll have more stuff coming up for that game. But in the middle of all that, I thought we'd have a conversation about something that I think everyone has some sort of opinion on, which is the ongoing debate between performance and quality modes in gaming. Obviously, there are various sort of substrates of that, like performance ray tracing and like 40 FPS modes and whatever, but we're gonna get nerdy as hell with this. Because over on the Sacred Symbols podcast, which is hosted by Colin Moriarty, he's ex-IGN, but over there on Sacred Symbols, just something he said on one of his podcasts, this is from the March 20th episode, How Refreshing, he said that he knows someone who works on a well-known console shooter who said that they natively put all their people in 60 FPS when they're demoing the game, when they're giving the game to test audiences and test players, and 70% of all test players go out of 60 FPS and drop it down to 30 FPS to get the higher resolution.
Right.
Well, I think that's madness.
Here's a thing, right?
Go
because
on.
I am an absolute lover, let's say, of quality modes in games.
Yes.
Even if something starts in performance mode, I will switch to the quality mode, test it out. If it doesn't look that much different, then I would switch back. Mm. So, in one sense, I'm kind of with these test players because I love quality mode. I would swap to that. Mm-hmm. That said, I'm very picky and it's a very much a game by game sort of decision for me. And if I was playing a first person shooter in particular, which it seems like this is what they're referring to here.
He does say that all of this is for a notable shooter that's on consoles, which can only really be Call of Duty, Battlefield, Apex or something, Titanfall. Yeah.
I would not be knocking it down on a first person shooter. That's just my opinion.
No, exactly.
Because it's
so
reliant on, like, you know, Twitch response. You want, you know, kind of like the most responsive version of that game, in my opinion. Mm-hmm. That specific example is kind of crazy to me.
Well, that's kind of the thing. I think that as the generation sort of rolled out, there's an assumption of prioritizing frame rates and just by default going to, okay, these systems can do high grade graphics, 60 frames a second. I thought we'd reached that point. I thought that was just where we were as a people. And so obviously in the podcast itself, they have a reaction to that and just saying how crazy it is overall and that a lot of people are choosing quality over performance. However, like I said at the very beginning, there are all these other sort of substrands to quality modes and performance modes. And I remember when Ghostwire Tokyo came out with like 5 different options stuff. Loads of different options in regards to tweaking just how fancy you want the frame to be.
Can you remember Saints Row from last year, which had similarly a bunch of different graphical settings? And the shame of that entire selection was that no matter what you choose, Saints Row is a terrible looking game no matter which mode you have it on, whether it's performance, whether it's quality, whether you're ratcheting up the resolution. Mm-hmm. It sucks. It feels like some games just try to overcompensate and say, look, tweak this and it might look a bit better. It doesn't.
The thing is, like, this is just a wider conversation on, you know, why would you want to prioritize the quality mode? For me, it depends on the game. Something like Control, I thought, looked very, very similar between both modes. The thing is with me, because a lot of, you know, current generation now, next gen at the time, current generation stuff, was sold on the idea of ray tracing. Oh my God, and volumetric lighting. And look how incredible these things can look. And I just hate getting into that mindset where I'm scanning the frame as I go between the modes, trying to pick out what's different about it. Obviously, you can immediately tell the difference in frame rate because it feels different. It feels more smooth and responsive and fluid. But for me, that whole thing of ray tracing being the thing that you want to sacrifice frame rate for, hardly any games have actually really capitalized on that. Like for me, if you flick it on in Spider-Man or Spidey Miles Morales, you can notice some reflections in the windows. But who cares?
I don't care. I care a little bit. Look, I'm not going to say that ray tracing is the next best thing since sliced bread. I'm not going to say it's an absolute system seller and you should think it's great. That's not true. It is a little bit overrated. It is very granular and specific. Scott Tilford doesn't even fully
just
know what it was.
Reflections in it.
And to be honest, it is just reflections in it. Jim Ryan, why don't you just come out and say that? Reflections in it. We like reflections. We like when the puddle of water reflects what we're seeing a little bit further up on screen. I do like that stuff. When I was playing Spider-Man Miles Morales, that was the first thing that kind of took my breath away to an extent playing the first mission, seeing the reflections on the floor. It looked, quote-unquote, next-gen.
Right.
That said, we haven't seen great implementation of that feature across the board. Sometimes you get a quality mode with ray tracing on, and like you said, you can kind of not even really tell the difference. It's not even that impactful on the overall image, especially when you're comparing it to the sacrifice of frame rate that you're having to implement in order to achieve that picture. But I like the option, Scott Tailford. Maybe it's because I've never been a PC player, and I've never had really the ability to flick between these options and decide which one for me is personally best, but I do like having that option, even if it means I need to do a little bit of tweaking at the start of a game, or indeed flick between modes while I'm playing a game. When I was going through Horizon Forbidden West, I was a madman going between performance mode, quality mode, depending on the mood, you know?
That's the thing that I can't do. I can't do that. That's a living hell for me, because I want whatever the most pristine version of the game is, as deigned by the people who made it. And I know that they go, well, we want to give you a bunch of options and let you pick between stuff. I don't want that. I want the most purest form of the art as it is. Like, if I was going to go to a gallery, I don't want, unless it's part of the artist's vision, I don't want to be like, oh, can you add a bit of red over there? Can you add a bit of blue over there? Can you actually change the picture around and I'll customize it to myself? Give me the pristine version of the thing that you put in front of me, and I'll go from there. What frame rate do the devs think we should be on? What resolution do the devs think that we should be on? I hate all this choice.
Where does this end, right? Where does this choice end? Because, yeah, we've got graphical options, but where do you fall in difficulty? Like, how would you even start a game? I'm sure you're paralyzed when you see easy, normal, and hard.
Have you played
super hard?
My friend and your friend of mine, the Dark Souls series,
where they
curated the difficulty throughout the entire game. Elden Ring found ways to curate the difficulty within the game experience and didn't have to put it in a menu.
They did, but, I mean, there's an entire debate about whether those games, you know, would be better with an easy mode, whether it would make them more accessible to players or not. And I do love those games. I love Resident Evil 4 in particular, and the way that game handles difficulty, you know, the way it changes enemy encounters depending on how well you're doing, how much ammo you have, etc., etc. Yeah. Kind of like the AI director in Left 4 Dead. But in my opinion, choice in games is a good thing. I almost said bad thing. Freudian slip there. Not what I was trying to make the point
of.
No, it
definitely is.
Yes, and I was just going to say, like, it's a little bit different, I think, than comparing it to a work of art, which is set in stone, which is very particular. Games have always been malleable. They've always been modular. They've always been... They've always lived or died on an element of player interactivity. No player, even if they're playing on the same difficulty level, even if they're playing on the same graphical setting, is not going to get through a game the exact same way. It's always going to be different to what the developer kind of envisioned or intended. And we're always going to be able to, quote unquote, break that pristine picture in certain ways. I spin around in cutscenes whenever I can. No developer wants you to spin around and jump around in characters' heads while people are speaking in their games. But I do it. Is that too much choice?
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hey everyone, I'm Craig Robinson, co-host of the Ways to Win podcast, alongside my good friend John Calipari. I've been on the go recently. Phoenix, Kansas City, Chicago. If you're like me and have a home but aren't always at home, you have an Airbnb. Hosting your home or a spare room is a very practical side hustle. If you live in a big game town, you can Airbnb your place for fans to stay in. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
This podcast is brought to you by Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. One of the things I love about Indeed is that it just makes hiring all in one place so easy, because you just get unparalleled access to job seekers. Plus, listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/WCG. Just go to Indeed.com/WCG right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/WCG. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Well, no, because in that case, if they wanted you to have a fixed perspective, they would have locked that in. The whole thing about, like, obviously player input, this was the whole thing that Roger Ebert argued back in 2013, was that games couldn't be art because the author was the player. The author was the person interacting with the work. It wasn't the person who made it in the first place. That was so fundamentally wrong, as I argued in my university thesis.
Did you really?
Back in the day.
I love Ebert, but that's a bozo take.
It's ridiculous. But he obviously took that back, as, you know, a lot of people said, that's not the way games work, etc. And a lot of the things I wrote about back in the day, where that developers are setting those parameters, they are setting those play spaces. That's what makes it art. Yes, you can play within those spaces. There was a whole music exhibit thing back in the day about you would stand in different parts of a room with different speakers, had different instruments play those speakers, and wherever you stood in that room would dictate which part of the composition you could hear.
Yeah.
But it was up to you where you wanted to stand. But overall, that was the intent. That was the play space. So I liken it that way. It's not that choice isn't good, but I just want I don't think difficulty and graphics options match up. I don't think that's a fair comparison.
Interesting.
Not to me. I don't think they're different. Because I think accessibility is a different conversation as to, you know, why would you want customized worse graphics or worse ray traced options as an extra accessibility option?
Because, well, I'm not even saying there's an accessibility option if we're taking that out the fold. If you just want to play a game on easy, say if you're able to complete Uncharted on hardcore, but you think the game plays better and you get a better experience and you think the story's impactful playing it on easy because you can mess around the control scheme a little bit more, that's player choice. That's not an accessibility option necessarily. And I would say the same thing for graphical settings, you know? You said, why would you want worse graphics? To someone, worse graphics would be 30 frames per second compared to 60 frames per second in the way they perceive that picture. Oh. That's the comparison that I'm trying to make. The accessibility thing was just something to throw on top when you were talking about having a standard difficulty.
No, that's totally fair. I think the idea of, like, the performance stuff ties into the accessibility stuff and the ease of play. There is the whole thing about frame rates making something easier to play, and everything's kind of relating to everything else. I just think that the idea of, to bring it all the way back to quality versus performance, that idea of where people's minds go, I think a lot of that stuff is kind of hung up in the marketing of the next generation consoles, obviously the current generation consoles now, and how do I get the most out of the box that's in front of me? And the default for that would be the quality mode. It's like, why would I turn the quality option off, as a menu option? But there is that whole thing of 60 FPS just feeling so much better, or 120 FPS. And even if you go up to 120, you're sacrificing even more of the graphical bells and whistles, which on the console space, we talked about, you know, the comparison to PC and everything. PC was always the place for the bells and whistles. That was where you cranked all the sliders up and you got all your optional stuff on there. Console, in terms of what we grew up with, was a curated version of that, a curated set of sliders that get set in a specific place and they just give you that as a console player. The more you introduce the PC stuff, that's where I go, I just don't want these options. I want you to do it for me.
Was it curated as a design principle, or was it curated because of limitations? If they could have always done this, adopted the PC mentality, would they have always done it? To me, the way that they've achieved this on next-gen consoles by giving you the choice indicates yes. So for me personally, I wouldn't put a lot of stock in, like, the console experience and that curated experience being the developer's intention, because how many times do we have a video game that is so ambitious and then has to be scaled back at the last moment?
Yeah.
It's almost like no video game we ever get is the developer's true intention. They wanted this to look better. They wanted this to run smoother, if that makes sense. And to me, the kind of options that we have now are more indicative of that mentality and the ability to get more out of these games. It's funny when we talk about what next gen is. Is it ray tracing? Is it performance? For me personally, and this is very much a console player discussion, I think. Yes. Everyone who has a PC is shouting at us right now, talking about this being an archaic conversation. But What felt next-gen to me about some of those launch games for PS5 and Xbox Series X, take Assassin's Creed Valhalla, for instance, was the ability to play an open-world, high-fidelity game in 60 frames per second. Mm-hmm. That felt novel to me, because I had not had that before. Previously, if you got a big open-world game, you know, whether it was a Rockstar game, whether it was a whatever, it was locked at 30 frames.
There's a trade-off,
so, yeah. There's a trade-off. So even, like, the pure joy of playing one of these games in a quote-unquote new way felt next gen to me, and this is purely anecdotal, but I remember when our friend and colleague Adam Nicholas bought a PlayStation 5 for the first time and booted up Spider-Man Miles Morales, he was texting me saying, I don't know what is next gen about this. And I said, switch to performance mode. And as soon as he did, he kind of went, this is what I was like. Oh, this is an entire new way to play for him and for me, because we haven't really experienced that on that scale in a console space before then.
Well, that's what brings it all the way back around to the initial thing, because 60 FPS from 30 is such a big jump. If you go 120 to 60, it's less noticeable. And even though it is a double, obviously, numerically, but it feels like the 30 to 60 jump is that, like, oh my God, it's like hitting warp speed kind of thing. And it has a much more immediate, like, oh my God, this feels next gen, this feels much more responsive. Again, like Josh said, PC people have been used to having 60 FPS games for so long. And if you go back a few console generations, we were having 60 stuff on the PS2.
But, people who are like playing Battlefield or Call of Duty in 200 frames per second right now on their computer while watching this video are just like laughing.
Just
Rich Hudson somewhere is just fuming at this video, thinking like, you idiots, you
Rich
idiots,
Hudson's
blew it up.
Field of view is so wide, he can see us from where he is, and he's at the bottom of the country. That's the setting that man has. But yeah, overall, I just think there's not necessarily a conclusion to this. I just think that having any data onto the most players all at once, what kind of settings are we going for? The assumption that people are going towards performance modes isn't necessarily true. At least that was what my assumption was. And it's not that there aren't obviously a lot of value to the quality stuff. That's what I used to go down the road of. But yeah, I think it's interesting tapping into it.
I do as well. And I think the kind of conclusion to take away from this is the way that us console players have almost been bred to kind of assume that the fancier a game looks, that's what indicates its quality, for lack of a better term. And obviously they use that term to describe that very mode. You know, we have been told for years that 30 frames per second is fine.
It's just like a movie.
It's like a movie. It's what we intended. It actually makes it more cinematic. And we've kind of had that line for so long that I think a lot of us, myself included to an extent, kind of just go, yeah, that's just how console games are.
Right.
That's what indicates a really good and fancy console game. It's how well it looks. It's not how fast it plays.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's the thing. Overall, there are a whole bunch of people who like just openly say they prefer 30 FPS. Like that, there's a whole, like I said, substrans to all of this stuff. There's performance RT modes where the likes of Insomniac split it down the middle in a post-release patch for Spider-Man Remastered, where you can have ray tracing and a performance mode, but I think it's like 45 FPS.
Yeah.
They kind of do things like that to try and... I still feel like all of this is kind of just growing pains of getting used to the system. It's just that idea of how do you get the most out of the console and what is the most next-gen feeling thing, but even though sometimes next-gen can be looks as well. But yeah, let us know what you think down in the comments below. It depends how much you've already taken my head off for saying, I bet you know what ray tracing is, but I challenge you to define it other than just a reflection in some sort of surface. For now, Evan Scott from WhatCulture.com.
I mean Josh from WhatCulture.com.
I will catch you next time.
Bye-bye.
Goodbye.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.